You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was an oldie but goodie, Anthony. Very dated at this point.
Man, I forgot about it.
Back in the day, you're just like, let me see what this old standing what is. When Ben used to co-host the show with us, and the Commanders stink. Now, Ben's got a Substack that's great that you should subscribe to. He's doing his thing covering the team, and the team is good. Let's talk about it in Not My Beat. The Last Man Standing is where you can go. Check it out on Substack. Subscribe for the one and only Ben Standing's Commanders coverage. Ben, what's up, my guy? How are you?
Craig, I am doing well. Yeah, the world has changed a lot since I was joining you and Anthony in studio. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. I also just realized on the YouTube stream, I got to change your graphic. I got to get the Substack in the graphic. So I'll work on that as you answer my questions here. Or people can just stare at my face blankly, staring into the camera as I ask you, or as you answer the questions that I ask you. But as you left, I'll start off here, Ben. This is the question I've asked everyone that I've talked to that was at practice yesterday. Like, as you're leaving Foxborough, down that one winding road that gets you out of that place, what's the kind of prevailing thought you had heading out of that joint practice yesterday?
I mean, bigger picture, you know, I think they were fine. You know, I mean, the defense, I think, had some moments. They were also, you know, picked apart a little bit by Drake May. I think Jaden Daniels did his thing, but the receiver room showed its, you know, weaknesses without Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown in there. So, you know, I think, you know, as far as we know, no injury. So all that, you know, relatively good. Get a test against for your guys against another team. But, you know, at the same point, you know, some of the concerns, particular receiver, you know, it puts an emphasis on the guy who is not there, as we know, in Terry McLaurin. And I think that was probably the biggest takeaway, I think, for most of us. Even if we know he's going to be back at some point, or we assume that, until he is, this is the group we're looking at. It was not the best day.
So, in theory, Ben, that should give McLaurin some leverage, because it's like, hey, Adam, like, you saw practice. You know that this isn't going great without me. In reality, with where these two sides are and how dug in it appears they are, like, does it actually move the needle at all?
I'd probably say it probably doesn't. You know, just because we think that, A, doesn't mean that the team thinks that. You know, if Noah Brown is out there, which, you know, admittedly is a question because of his injury history, and he's dealing with his knee issue right now, you know, he's not a go-to receiver, but okay, it makes the room a little bit better if you have him out there with Deebo Samuel. Now, maybe if you have, you know, Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler, you swing Eckler out, you have two tight ends. Like, you can, you know, manufacture a few things here and there as needed. It's just, you know, without McLaurin, you don't have that obvious deep threat. And, but I don't know that Adam Peters is going to change his tune, whatever exactly that tune is. If they start the year, say they lose to the Giants unexpectedly and then fall at Green Bay on that Thursday and they're 0-2, I think that's where, okay, we don't have enough receiver right now, clearly, and that we're falling into a hole. We got to do something. But until something dramatic like that, I don't really know that it's going to move the needle.
Ben Standing with us. Check out his Substack, Last Man Standing, for all of his coverage. He's doing live chats. He's doing podcasts as well as the written content there. Just one more quick one on McLaurin. how long do you think he needs to ramp up? Like, one, we don't know the severity of the ankle injury, but then there's Dan Quinn's constant refrain of, like, we won't skip steps. So how long does he need to be in camp or in practice, if we've switched over to that mode, before he is ready to play in a regular season game?
I feel like this is a better question for somebody who might be a personal trainer, but I mean, look, obviously, you know, here's the thing that's kind of always it's getting more and more confusing as we go into these preseasons. Obviously, the players who are there in practice, or at least, you know, they're getting the reps in practice. They did it again yesterday. But, you know, unless they're playing in the game, as you know, I've heard former players say, it's hard to prep for football if you don't play football. So at a minimum, there's like, hey, are you going to get on the field for a game? If not, you know, he could, you know, it could be tough just kind of going in cold. But even just getting in for practices, at least that's getting your body used to, you know, doing the movements, doing the activity, running full speed at times, things like that. But, you know, without getting hit, I you know, I wonder for a lot of these guys, how quickly are they going to get acclimated? That's why we've seen the last couple of years in the NFL, teams either start out slow or just the play itself doesn't look always great, you know, until maybe 2 or 3 weeks get into this. So I don't know. I mean, it seems to me if he's not in – at this point, I'm kind of saying if he's not in there by the Ravens joint practice, so that's the Bengals game is on the 18th and the Ravens comes shortly thereafter. If he's not there by that, I think we're not a point of no return, but a point where we're in the red, where things are starting to get concerning. If he's back in the next few days, even if he doesn't play in the Bengals game, then it's probably not that big of a deal. The first game isn't until, you know, early September. You still have a few weeks to get going. And, I imagine Terry is in good shape. I know he's on the pup list with his ankle injury, but something tells me if he signed a contract tomorrow, we'd see him on the practice field immediately. So I don't know about that ankle, but sooner the better, I guess I would say would be ideal.
No, for sure. And I will answer my own question then, since you set me up so nicely at the start of that answer, from like the physiological training side of it, the things I would be worried about are less like the contact element. Yeah, there are definitely, if you talk to NFL guys, like there's a callusing that happens that's more important, I think, on the inside than the outside. But I think the biggest thing is how much high speed running has he done? Like, especially considering his route tree and the tempo of this offense, can he not necessarily pass the basic conditioning test, but can he do enough high-speed running where his hamstrings aren't at risk? And depending on what he's doing right now and how severe or not that ankle injury is, he might actually be doing some of that right now and maybe even a lot of it. So he might be able to jump right in and kind of be fine. If he's not doing that, that's going to be a ramp-up period. Obviously, then taking contact and running through contact is another adjustment period. But I think given Terry's fitness and given his position, he can hopefully make that a little bit quicker. They won't skip steps, but there won't be too many steps to skip. So that would be that would be how I answer that if I had a Substack, Ben. Ben Standing with us here on the Hoffman Show. Okay, when you look at the receiver room down chain, and I feel like we just generally throw out like, hey, this isn't going great, and then we skip to like who's going to be wide receiver 6, and we kind of skip over the who is actually wide receiver 4. When you look at Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey, the two guys most likely, or if you want to include like a Michael Gallup or anyone else that you want to throw in this mix, Ben, like who else besides Noah Brown, Terry McLaurin, and Deebo Samuel do you think plays significant wide receiver snaps in 2025 if everyone's healthy for the Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, based on what we've seen in training camp, Jalen Lane has looked pretty good. I know one of my concerns, not concerned, but I was like, hey, I'd like to see him. Can he make plays down the field? Because looking at the Virginia Tech highlights, it's not really a lot of those because they didn't have particularly good QB play and offense in general. There was a lot of get the fast guy the ball as soon as possible and let him go from there. And Cliff Kingsbury kind of said as much, you know, in terms of wanting to see what this kid could do. Well, we've seen Jalen Lane in practices make plays down the field, so that part seems to be good. He even made one of the better catches in practice where he jumped over two defensive backs in the back of the end zone to make the play. Maybe he technically had a foot out of bounds when he came down, but close enough for these purposes. But he's mainly a slot guy, and that's where Deebo Samuel is going to work out of a lot. So it's not that you can't use them both. It's just that they're not necessarily – like the fourth receiver in my head would typically be somebody you'd want on the outside. And I don't know who that person is. You know, ideally it would be Luke McCaffrey – And I know Cliff Kingsbury said the other day he's you know, happy with the progress McCaffrey's made. From what we can see, he's having a hard time creating separation on the outside. And, you know, that's going to prevent him from being out on the field, even if Noah Brown or, you know, misses time, what have you. Then there's the Michael Gallup and Chris Moore and KJ Osborne level. I mean, Chris Moore was out there with the ones a bit yesterday. He's 32. I just don't see there being a lot of upside here. Michael Gallup, you know, he was retired last year because of injuries, has come back. He's a professional receiver. He's polished. But again, in terms of like a pretty decent sized role, I just don't know if I see it right now. Plus, he doesn't play special teams. So that makes it harder to keep him. And KJ Osborne, kind of like last year, where he came in after really a bad year with the Patriots, bad half year, comes to Washington, doesn't really play at all. You know, and he's had a moment or two in camp like everybody kind of does, but he, again, has been relatively quiet, and I haven't seen enough to say, boy, he's refound his stride that he had earlier on in his career with the Vikings. So you look at all that, and you're like, man, I really don't know what to think of this. If you told me that, you know, wide receiver 5 or 6 is currently playing on another team, just like Noah Brown was last year, I wouldn't be floored by that. If you tell me they only keep 5 receivers in general, counting McLaurin, that wouldn't surprise me either. If they want to keep an extra running back or tight end or what have you. So, I don't know. To me, I'm just concerned about that room because they don't have I don't see the athletic upside there. Where at least, like, look, Deombie Brown last year, none of us were going, oh, look at this guy. He's going to get a $10 million contract when the season's over. But we knew he had speed. We knew he could make plays downfield. The very first play that Jaden Daniels made in preseason last year was a 41-yard bomb to Deombie Brown on an audible, and that was a sign of what was to come to a degree. I just don't know right now who that guy would be here. Maybe it's one of the younger guys, a Ja'Cory Brooks or someone like that, but this is going to be a really interesting game to see if any of these vets can stand out and show that they're, you know, really worthy of a high depth chart spot.
That Noah Brown point is so good, and I hadn't thought enough about that yet. That, like, yeah, every once in a while we kind of throw away, say, like, oh, well, you know, all these teams are going to make cuts, and there'll be, you know, the 53 that's named on the cut day won't be the same as the 53 that opens the season. It's like, yeah, no, that, like, let that sink in for a second, that there will be other signings made. That's a great point. Ben standing with us here on the Hoffman Show. When you look on the other side of the ball, Ben, at the defensive line, how did they do yesterday in the joint practice? I feel like we've talked a lot about the secondary, and there's now the, you know, how much better is, or how good do we think it actually is, because they kind of struggled compared to what they've done in Ashburn, and we just talked about the receiver room, all that. Maybe we'll get to that in a second. Maybe we'll run out of time. I want to focus on the D-line first. How did the D-line play yesterday against that Patriots O-line?
Yeah, so I'm going to be, you know, super, like, honest. As you know, having been out of these joint practices,
you were on the other field and you have no idea. So I gave you that big, long setup, and then I put you in a terrible spot. I just threw you over, like, it's 2004, and I just threw you over the middle into junior Seau.
No, I mean, you know, like, look, when Jaden Daniels is on the field, you're going to watch the offense, right? Which is also the same time that the first team defense is probably going up against Drake May. Then when there were, like, the more individual drills, they were taking place at the far end of the field. So even with binoculars and watching what I could, you know, context is not always so great. I mean, I know they felt pretty good about that. Dietrich Wise after the game said he thought that they played pretty good physical brand of football, and that's, of course, what they're looking to accomplish. You know, I could see Von Miller still showing he's got that good bend coming around the edge. But, you know, I can't sit here and tell you Daron Payne dominated or Johnny Newton, you know, looked a lot better. But, you know, look, obviously I think they have more depth in general at on the line. And, you know, even if they don't have an obvious, say, Pro Bowler, I think they have more confidence in, like, their top 8 or 9 guys that they can use. So, you know, I think that is all positive. And, you know, where I was seeing New England get the better of Washington was mostly in the passing game. Even in the 11s that I could see, I didn't, you know, I wasn't like I was seeing Travion Henderson get big runs or things like that. So to that end, I think it was positive. But, you know, I'd be lying if I told you I have a definitive thought that the line is much better or worse or what have you.
All right, well, let me ask you this then. Who are the guys in that group who you want to keep a real keen eye on tomorrow night in the game? So we're knocking out Von Miller. We're knocking out Dietrich Wise. We're knocking out Jerron Payne. Like, those guys aren't going to play. So are there D-line spots up for grabs? And if so, who are you watching there?
Yeah, I mean, look, Javonte Jean-Baptiste is one of the players that didn't make the trip. So he's out for tomorrow. And he's one of the guys who I would say is, you know, sort of on that bubble group. I think Jacob Martin's interesting. They signed him this offseason. He's been a guy who's played a bit in the league. He's actually, I think, the third oldest defensive lineman, besides, I think, not named Von Miller or Dietrich Wise. I think they're the only two that are older. But, you know, he's been productive. But now that you have Von Miller and you have some of these other pieces, does he really have a role here? If he can be effective tomorrow, I think that goes a long way towards keeping him. I think Jalen Holmes was a guy who was effective last year when he played mostly on the end, can play a little inside. But, boy, it's going to be tough for him to make this team. Sheldon Day is another guy as well. And maybe it's not a big of a deal, or maybe they take advantage of Baptiste out and make these plays. But, you know, if they can shine, it'll be a lot harder for them to be on the wrong side of the bubble. But right now, you know, if they're keeping nine defensive linemen, I don't know how those guys are making the team exactly. So I think some of those guys would be the ones, you know, I also would just say this, it goes for any position. If there are players who are playing in this game that you're kind of like, I would have thought he was a lock. I don't mean the younger player. Like, I could see all the rookies playing, but some veteran, the way Jahan Dotson played deep into the first half last year, when you're like, wait, why is he out there? That's a sign that maybe they're more in trouble than we think. So I think that's the other thing to look at, whether that's on the defensive line or any spot.
That's a great point, Ben.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Standing with us here on the Hoffman Show. Again, check out his Substack. Last Man Standing is where you can get it. That's also access to his podcast, which you can also just get through your podcast apps, et cetera, et cetera. Perhaps the thing I'm most excited about for tomorrow night, Ben, is the linebacker play, because you know Bobby and Frankie aren't going to play. So that leaves, I don't know, a half, three quarters probably for Dominique Hampton and Kay Medrano to go out there and run around, and let's see what they can do. What are your early impressions of those two guys and how they fit in, and what else should we be looking for on the linebacker level tomorrow?
Yeah, well, look, I know your cohort, Logan Paulson, is a fan of Dominique Hampton, and you know, we didn't see much of him last year. You know, basically, it's kind of a redshirt season, but he's one of these guys. He's this, you know, hybrid linebacker, safety, you know, big for a safety, you know, a little bit lighter for a linebacker, but he can move and hit. Well, let's see him get out there and see if he's a guy that can actually contribute to the team this year. But then there's Medrano, who they brought in. You know, they drafted him as a sixth-round pick. He was the fastest linebacker at the combine. Special teams probably makes him a fairly safe bet to make the team, but he started to make more plays on defense the last few practices. And, you know, I think he's got pretty good instincts. The rep is that he's got to work on his tackling, but it seems like he has a good feel of where to go. So I'm with you. It would be exciting to see those two guys. And, you know, look, frankly, I don't know that either of the, and also no Jordan McGee, who didn't make the trip with an injury. Quinn said none of the guys who were stayed back are significant injuries, he doesn't believe. But this is also where Jordan McGee was a year ago, where injury in the preseason kind of derailed his year. I'm not going to assume that everything's okay. Hopefully it will be. But if not, then one of these other guys is probably going to have to fill in, a significant amount. So yeah, it's a good opportunity for these guys to show what they can do in a situation where they're going to have to play a lot because of, you know, older guys or guys that are hurt.
How has McGee looked, by the way, in camp? We know that they had big plans for him. Like, what have those plans look like, and how has he looked in them?
Yeah, I think he's looked fine. You know, the athleticism is obvious, good size. I just like how the run game is hard to evaluate in camp because there's no there's no tackling for the most part, and not every day is put pads. McGee's specific role on defense is to be, you know, it sounds like they want to use him a lot when teams go with two and three tight ends and, you know, want to run the ball. Last year, Washington used nickel packages more than any team in the league, and that makes them undersized against the run. So McGee against the run is something I think I definitely want to see. We need to see a bigger sample size of that. But, you know, when he's out there, you know, his ability to move, the athleticism, all that really stands out. I know they also talked about, you know, he's too big for most running backs to deal with on the blitz situation. So there's a lot of ways to use him, but as we know, availability is the best asset you can have, and right now it's been a little bit of a hiccup so far.
That was a good remix, Ben, on the, to not use the classic version of the cliche. I thought you were just going to go for it.
You gotta shake it up. I gotta have a new clip for Anthony, so I gotta say some different things here.
Hey, that's a man who's thinking. That's a man who's thinking strategically. Anthony, is there anything from this particular hit with Ben that you feel like is really, really good open material?
I think I can mess around with some stuff.
Okay.
I think.
Does the phrase "I'm gonna mess around with some stuff" terrify you?
100% in this AI deep fake era. I don't know what's real and fake anymore. So yeah, very concerned.
For real, you can go and search The Last Man Standing, and you will find Ben Standing's Substack, where you can get all of his Commanders coverage. Do that. Support Ben and the journalism that he is doing, breaking stories, providing analysis, the whole deal, audio, video, podcasts, the whole thing there on Substack. Ben, best of luck as you continue to grow that. I know it's going great so far. Would love to see that continue to succeed for you, and it's a pleasure always having you on the show, dude.
Guys, always appreciate it. Talk soon.
All right, that's Ben Standing, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. He's very smart. Coming up next, something that's occasionally very, very dumb. It is time, what an introduction, for Never Read the Comments next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.